We had some great weather here this morning, 70s, it's a little bit different. About 3-4 weeks ago, I pulled up out here in the parking lot in the baseball field. It was one of those hot days where it was heat index over 100 degrees, and I saw this bird was pulling a worm out of the ground, and it was so hot, the bird had to use pot holders to get that worm out of the ground. There you go. Thank you for that. Okay. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up out west in out in California. Steve mentioned that. And 19 years old before I left California and wasn't raised in a Christian home. Tony, it was great hearing those songs this morning. Just really thank you guys for leading us in worship this morning. But just to reflect over the last 30-plus years of walking with Christ, and it's been an incredible journey. There's nothing like it. So 19 years, ended up joining the military, ended up going into the Air Force, and I was a gunner on B-52 bombers. People say, now, you're 6'6", how did you fit in that little bubble in the back? They're thinking World War II. This is a B-52, built back in the 50s. It's kind of old, too, but you'll be able to see, it's just a big piece of machinery, about 150 feet long from nose to tail, 185 feet, wingtip to wingtip, a big piece of metal. And I was going through training in Fort Worth, Texas, and ended up being placed in a room. I was thinking about this week, the providence of God to place me in this room. I was in a squadron of flyboys, and I was placed in a room with a guy who was an administrative guy. And it shouldn't have happened like that, but I was placed in this guy's room. So I walked into this guy's room, and there was a Bible lying open on the bed. And at night, he would read the Bible and pray. And I said, man, I'm a curious guy. I said, Why are you doing all that? That's for grandma and grandpa. Why are you doing all that? Why are you all into Jesus? And he says, Jesus changed my life. That got my attention. So I began to watch his life, and after a period of time, he shared the good news with me. And Jesus touched down, and everything changed. I was transformed from darkness to light. Transformed. The Bible says it's a new creation. The Bible says that anybody who's in Christ is a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. So I started doing that. I started walking with God. I had guys like Dave Bryant help me out to walk with God, and Phil Nelson took me out to do evangelism, and Mike Lee, we spent time praying. We're going through the Gospel of Luke at night, praying together. Man, my life was just transformed. After that, I went to college out in California to get a degree in biblical studies. After that, came here to Memphis, here in grad school. And while I was going to grad school, I started going on these mission trips. I thought, well, yeah, I kind of like that. I like to travel. So I went over on these mission trips. And, I went with this guy. His name was Dr. Wilkes. He's here at Mid-America. He's affectionately known as Wild Man Wilkes. And, man, you go on these mission trips, you never know what's going to happen. And just being out there and tasting God working through you in a foreign land, there was nothing like it. So I ended up going and giving 2 years to go to Albania. And we went there. Before I went, I said, how many people live there in Albania? They said, 3.3 million people. I thought, okay, we're going to go ahead and reach them, get them baptized, start churches, and then we're going to go to the next country. That's enough naivete to sink a battleship. That's the way it felt. So I came back, and after spending those 2 years, we were sharing the gospel 5, sometimes 6 days a week out in these mountain villages. We'd fly in by helicopter in these areas. They hadn't seen folks from, you know, U.S. So we'd go out there, and we're sharing the gospel like crazy. 3 people trusted Christ and were baptized. So I came back. I was wide open to something new, to a new kind of strategy. So in the providence of God, back in 1999, I walked into a Sunday school class here in Memphis. I walked in there, and they were talking about, it was Steve Tucker right here. Stand up, Steve, if you would. It was Steve Tucker, and he was teaching a class about the way that Jesus made disciples. And oh, it's okay, it's good. Steve doesn't like me to do that, but I'm so grateful for this man. Wow! He's invested in my life. I'll never be the same. So he began to teach these things, and I was thinking, man, I had all this traditional stuff in my head. It took me a while. It's like having a big jungle with a machete. I had to hack through all that tradition stuff and try to get to the way Jesus did ministry. So I remember like if it were yesterday, Brother Herb, he's here with us today. Brother Herb came to teach. He happened to be in town. He's right over here. He came to teach, and Brother Herb, he started teaching. And man, my wheels in my mind, man, they're going, they're spinning. And I asked him a question, and Brother Herb says, I think you're about ready to turn the corner. I didn't know what he meant by that, but I was there. I went up and talked to Steve after the class, all these questions, and he said, hey, you want to get together for lunch this week? I said, sure. So we went to lunch, and he asked me two questions. He said, what's God doing in your life right now? Then he asked, what do you think God has for you in the future? I told him best I could, and he said, I want you to come to my house this coming Friday at 6 a.m. So I showed up there at his house, walked upstairs. I had heard guys in school, they talk about we need to make disciples, we need to be building disciples, and I'm all for that, but I had never seen it done until that day. I walked upstairs, and I saw four other guys there, and Steve began to teach us, to train us. We began to pray together, praying for the nations. We began to do mission trips together. We went to Nicaragua together. And man, my life was taking off. It was like rocket fuel for my soul. I was taking off like crazy. And the things that I was learning, I began to pass it on to other people, guys in college, guys, young married guys. And their lives were being transformed too. And I thought, this is it. This is the missing piece that I didn't have. So I ended up I saw these guys around here in Memphis, their lives were being transformed, so then I had a desire to impact the world. I have a world map, I love world maps, globes, and I would look at that, and I remember working at Steve at the saddle shop, out in the back of the shop. Ooh. I have a world map, as I'm prepping these saddle trees. Steve's a saddle maker, is the number one saddle maker in the whole world. And just hanging out with this guy, I think the guy's a genius. His mind's always going, he's always thinking. But I'd be out there prepping these saddles, and I'm praying. I got a world map there in front of my little workstation, and I'm praying. Say, God, I'd love to be able to impact the world. And it worked out where I was invited to go and be a part of a mission team in Central America. Went down to learn some Spanish. I'd love to go to Ecuador with Ken, go down there and hang out in Ecuador. I'd love to do that. Maybe this coming year I'd be able to do that. But go down there, learn a little bit of Spanish, and then went to Honduras. And while I was there, I was able to do the same things that I was doing here in Memphis, seeing guys' lives, their lives are being changed. And that's where I met my wife, Gabriella. She's here with us today. I've been married now, coming up on 9 years. It gets better and better. She's a good little woman. God, she's my crown. I call her, she's my Mayan princess. So went ahead and worked there. And I would look at the world map again at my house, and I'd say, Lord, you know, we're doing stuff here in Honduras, but I'd love to be able to do this all over the world. How's that going to happen? So through a series of circumstances, I met Steve Winstead. I said, Steve, what do you guys do? And he said, man, we do this. We train leaders all around the world. I said, man, I'd love to be a part of that. So we prayed about it. We shifted over. January 2010, Gabrielle and I, we moved here in order to start working with the downline. It's been great. And to be a part of this church with a mission vision from the very beginning. As you walk in the back doors, there's two banners. The first one, it says gospel-driven. Gospel-driven, I like to describe it as being motivated by what God has done for us. Just saying thank you, God, for what you've done is a loving response because you've saved me. The fuel for everything else that comes from my life is a direct result of the gospel. So Jesus, I want to serve you, not in order to be saved. I'm not working for acceptance because I have been accepted in Christ that I can work for him, work with him in the ministry. That's one thing, gospel-driven, gospel-motivated. That's the idea. The other one says disciple-making church. And we want to be a disciple-making church, not just a name that doesn't just sound cool. We want to be, in actuality, a disciple-making church. So I'm really excited today to be able to share these principles that I think, guys, if I could share one lesson with you talking about disciple-making, this is the one. So I'm glad you're here. Let's go ahead and pray as we get started and ask God to do his work. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the people here at our Harvest. Lord, I pray that you'd use Harvest in a significant way here in Memphis and also around the world. Lord, that you would empower us to do your work through your strategy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a definition about, a working definition we like to use for making disciples. It says it's truth and life transference. And go ahead, if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to take notes. Take a pen right there in front of you and write down some notes on in your bulletin. I think it'll help you. So a definition of discipleship, it's truth and life, both things. Guys, we're really good about, man, we can give truth out, we can give truth like crazy. But it's two things, it's truth and life. It's a relationship with somebody else. Steve and I, we had that kind of a relationship. It's truth and life, transference in the context of a real relationship. I like this, underline this part. It says, for the purpose, there's a purpose. It's not just hanging out, there's a purpose. For the purpose of producing, underline this one double, reproducing, underline that double, reproducing disciples of Jesus Christ. Truth and life transference in the context of real relationships for the purpose of producing, reproducing disciples of Jesus Christ. Then we have nine principles. Robert Coleman, he wrote a book back in 1963. It's a modern day classic, and we have a case of them back here in the back. They're $5, you're not gonna find a better price for those, for this book. And what happened, he's a seminary professor, and back in the early 60s, he would have guys come to his office. He selected 12 guys to come to his office, and they went through the life of Jesus. Every year, they went through the life of Christ with those 12 guys. Next year, he gets 12 more guys, they go through the life of Christ. Third year through, he's going through the life of Christ, and he begins to see these principles emerge. And that these are the principles we're going to look at today, these kind of guidelines, these principles. I like the saying, methods are many, principles are few. Methods may change, but principles never do. So we need to have these principles to be able to pass along to other people. First one's incarnation. JB read this morning in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Jesus came as a servant. He came in humility. Guys, when you have I want to have the fragrance of Christ on my life. I want when people get around me, they say, man, that guy's like Jesus. That's my desire. So there's that, and also, when you're known as a servant, you'll always have opportunities to make disciples. So come in humility. Jesus came in humility. Danny touched on these first four last week. This is just in case you're here for the first time, bring you up to speed, and then we'll kick in number five. Number two is selection. Guys, this is so important. Selection. The Bible says in Luke 6, 12 and following, that Jesus, before he selected his men, he spent the whole night in prayer. It's the only time we have in Scripture where it says that Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. This is going to be the DNA for the church. This was a huge decision. So he ended up selecting these guys. He selected a dozen men. One of those guys, there was a rotten egg. But these 11 guys, he used to transform the world. We're here as a direct descendants through these guys, those of us who know Christ. So selection, and I love this saying, for the benefit of the whole world, Jesus concentrated on a few. Now that's counterintuitive. You think if you're after the whole world, man, you're gonna go after the whole world. He was, but his strategy to get there was investing in faithful men who would then multiply to the ends of the earth. So selection, and there's a certain type of guy that I look for, and after doing this for about 15 years now, I can almost smell the guy. Get close, you kind of smell. You see these characteristics. Number one is that they're faithful. Is this guy a faithful guy? You say, hey, man, we're going to meet together at this time. We're gonna go through this Bible verse. Let's have this Bible verse memorized. And if they show up and they're not ready, well, maybe they're not faithful. Now, it doesn't mean we need to love everybody. We need to help everybody. But I'm going to be looking for faithful guys. Right now, I'm 52 years old. If God gives me 70 years, I got 18, a little bit less than 18 years left. So what kind of guys am I going to select? Jesus couldn't spend his life on everybody. He had to select. The same way we have to be selective and think, who are the young men? Men disciple men, women disciple women. Who are the young men that you've placed in my basket to impact for eternity? Who are the men? So I'm praying the whole time. Like in the Air Force as a gunner, I was supposed to be looking at everything back from 3 o'clock to 6 to 9 o'clock, all everything back there. High, low, for X number of miles. That was my job to look at that. My radar was on. The same way my radar has to be on, looking for people. Who's the faithful person, the faithful young man that God may send my way for me to invest in them? So are they faithful? Are they available? If they're not available, they're really busy. Hey, I'd love to hang out, they'd say, but you know, I got a lot of stuff going on. I got family. I got this. Maybe this isn't the right time. So we need to find guys who are available. Also, people who are teachable. Have you ever tried to teach somebody who knows everything? That's hard. That is really hard. But when I find a guy who's like a spiritual sponge, he said, oh, just I want to learn. I want to learn. A guy who's hungry like that, that's the kind of guy I want to look for. He's eager to learn. He loves the scripture. He's motivated. And also, he's involved. There may be people who are already involved in ministry, but they just haven't seen this whole idea about investing your life in other people. Now, I can fan the flame a little bit, but only God can put the heart, his heart for God in that person, or a hunger for the scripture. Only God can do that. I can't do that. God has to be the one to do that, but I can fan the flame. We have a saying we like to use, don't spend your life carving rotten wood. Don't spend your life carving rotten wood. If the person isn't really ready at this time, that's okay. You can hang out with them a little bit. But the majority of your time, you're going to be spending with these faithful people. So selection. Let's go to number three is association. Mark 3:14. It says that Jesus selected the 12 to be with him, and then he says he sent them out to preach. So two parts. He selected the 12 to be with him. We call it the with me principle. With him, and then he sent them out to preach. Now, Steve, man, we spent a lot of time together. We'd work together. After work, I'd get to go hang out in his office. We'd talk about life. We'd talk about ministry. We'd talk about all kinds of stuff. We'd go eat together. We would do ministry together. And God used that in my life. It's time together. It's a with me principle. Number four is consecration. Consecration. If we're going to follow Christ, I listened to what Danny said last week. He said, in order to make disciples, this is huge. In order to make disciples, we have to be disciples. So you have to ask yourself, am I really a disciple of Christ? Am I a follower, a disciplined follower of Christ? Am I? The picture that kind of comes to my mind is, remember Mary, what Martha asked Jesus to come and have lunch with them or to have a meal. It doesn't say what time of day it was. Jesus shows up. Martha's in the kitchen. She's making biscuits. She's got flour on her, maybe, and she's making those biscuits. And she looks out there, and Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet, just sitting down there. And she's thinking, man, I'm busting it in here. I don't know if she said I'm busting it, but she says, I'm busting it in here. And she's just sitting there at Jesus' feet. So she can't take it anymore. She goes in there, and she says, Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me out. And we don't know how Jesus said it. Maybe with a smile, he said, Martha, Martha. You're so anxious about so many things, but Mary has chosen the best thing. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. She's not letting one of his words hit the ground. She's listening to Jesus. She wants to follow Jesus. If I'm going to make disciples, I need to be a disciple. Consecration. There's a man here, he used to be here. He passed away about 5 years ago. You guys know his name, Stephen Alford. Stephen Alford impacted Billy Graham in a huge way. And I remember him. He was a man. He passed away, I guess, about 5 years ago. He was about this tall. He was had a British accent, white shock of hair, not much here in the middle. Like, I don't have any hair. But he had this white shock of hair. He'd have a British accent. And one of his favorite verses was, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ is the one who's living in me. In the life which I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he would do this. With a British accent, he would say, I die, he lives. I die, he lives. I die, he lives. That's the Christian life. I can't live it. Jesus has to live his life through me. We need to be consecrated. David Brainerd, he said this. He said, the heaven I desired was a heaven of holiness. That's what I desired. Robert Murray M'Cheyne, he said, Lord, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. Lord, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. Is that your desire? Do you want to walk in holiness? God, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. Consecration. Let's go to the next one, number five. Impartation. One of my favorite verses is John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For it says, without me, you can do 25%. Is that what it says? Without me, you can do 16%. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Zero. I brought back a special glove here from Guatemala. I wanted you guys to see it. I'd never seen one of these before. I wanted you guys to see this thing. So I brought it back. I said, man, the people at Harvest, they got to see this. So it's a special glove. It does all kinds of things. It can pick up a Bible. It can pick up a glass. It can wave to the people. It can do all kinds of things. Okay, special glove from Guatemala, do your thing. We've practiced this. Go ahead, do your thing. Everybody's looking. Go ahead, come on. You're saying, Pepper, you're crazy. Maybe. This right here represents our life. This is our Christian life. This is my life. Now, my hand represents the Holy Spirit, Jesus' life in me. When God comes to take over, not just resident, but when he becomes president of your life, every area of your life, your work life, your family life, when he takes over everything, then the glove can do whatever the hand can do. It's not the glove, it's what's in the glove that makes all the difference. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. One man said, it's amazing how busy we can be doing nothing. We can be busy working, leading music, preaching, teaching. We can be doing all these things. If I'm not controlled by the Holy Spirit, it's nothing. It's not going to last. So, number five is impartation. Let's look at number six is demonstration. Demonstration, number six. Jesus, it says that he was praying in Luke 11:1. In Luke 11:1, he said he was praying. And I always like to, when I'm watching reading through the Bible, I like to kind of do a video in my head. And it says that one of the disciples, maybe they're gathering around, they're watching him, he's praying, and praying. And then after he finishes praying, and one of the disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray the same way you taught John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. So it was such a recognizable part of his life, this whole thing about prayer, that he was demonstrating that. We learn best as we have a model and a pace setter. We learn better through demonstration. I went to Ukraine. My professor, Dr. Wilkes, Ken's here, Ken Tucker's here. We've been on trips together. We've been to Costa Rica together. Dr. Wilkes was, he said, hey man, we're going to go preach. We're going to go street preach. I said, Dr. Wilkes, I've never done that before. He said, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out there on the street. I said, man, I've never done that. And he said, I said, hey, you show me how to do it. You demonstrate and I'll watch. So he got up there and he said, we've come from the U.S. We got some information we want to share with you. And everybody stopped. This is back in 92. So I'm over here. I'm standing off to the side. I'm kind of watching. I say, okay, I like that. You know, okay, he's demonstrating. Okay, I like that. Okay. So then it was my opportunity to get up there. And I was, you know, kind of doing the same thing. But we learn best. We need a model. We need somebody to demonstrate for us. And that's what Jesus, he demonstrated the life of prayer. And we need people. As we're discipling people, we have to demonstrate. Never, as you're making disciples, never ask somebody to do something without showing them how to do it. You want to set them up for success. So you want to demonstrate how that's done. Let's go to the number seven is delegation. Delegation, it's the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew 14, 13 and 21 through 21. Jesus is, he's there feeding the group of guys. And I was reading through last night the different passages. And it says in Mark that he told the disciples to have them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. And it says on green grass, so it gives you kind of a visual, springtime of the year in Palestine. So they're there. And Jesus says, hey, do you have any food? And he said he knew what he was going to do. He was setting this to test him. And he said, hey, we got a little lunch here. We got two small fish, it says, two small fish and five, maybe pita breads, maybe about this size. Maybe it's little Reuben's lunch. We don't know what the guy's name was. The little guy, he has maybe a little Piper lunch, has Reuben on the side. So he's like, hey, we got this little guy here. He's got a lunch. So he says, bring it to me. He says he blessed it. He broke it, distributed to the disciples, and then they distributed. So he got them involved in ministry. When you're involved in ministry, one of the dangers is you want to do everything. I'm going to do everything, you watch. I'm going to do everything. That's the danger. We need to delegate. We need to equip people to do what we do, and maybe even to do it even better than we do. So equipping the people to do the work is delegation. I talked about Sergio. I spent time with him about 5 years, probably my closest friend down there in Central America. He was like a little brother to me. And we would before we'd go out to do evangelism, I said, okay, we're going to do this paint talk method. And I want you to, I got a whiteboard, and we're going to go ahead and do that. You're going to touch on this and do it 5, 6, 7, 8 times at the house in a controlled environment before you go live. So I have a video I want to show you guys of a video that I have had time with Sergio. It's about a minute and a half or so. So let's look at that, a video of Sergio.
Y eso, y piensa que si damos esto, vamos a llegar a Dios. Algunos quieren llegar a Dios. Ponerse dioses, quieren poder.
Tienen mucho. Sir is a guy I've been spending time with for about the last 5 years. It's a guy that we do ministry together. I try to take everything that I've picked up through the years and be able to hand it off to him at a younger age. He's 23 years old. So just try to give him everything that I have.
Esta paz y este amor verdadero es Dios. Ahora, mientras Jesús vivió.
You live life the way Jesus did with his disciples. You were on the move, going through life. It's passing on your spiritual DNA to somebody else who will then multiply to the lives of other people. And that's what God has called me to do. It's pretty clear in Matthew, it says that that's what our job is to make disciples, to go into all the world to do that. And that's what I want to give my life to.
So that's the idea of delegation, equipping people to do what you do and to do it even better. Sergio's doing a great job. He's now a youth man on the North Coast there in San Pedro Sula. He's looking to go into India. So he's going to impact people that I may never see till heaven. So I'm excited about Sergio's life, what God's doing through him. Next one is supervision, number 8. Let's look at supervision. If you're going to delegate things, you're going to have to make some adjustments. There's going to have to be some supervision to take place. Sergio, what we started doing, this is towards the end. The video was showing towards the end. As we first started meeting, we taught a class of 9 to 12-year-old boys. And we're teaching this class, and I said, first of all, I want to demonstrate, right? So I get up there, and I say, okay, Sergio, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do the icebreaker. We're going to talk about prayer time, and then I'm going to do the first part. And then, so he's watching. And then after that, okay, Sergio, this next week, I want you to do the icebreaker and also kind of lead us in. Do like the intro. Okay. So he did that. And then after, he would do the first part. I would do the tail end. And then after a while, he was doing the whole deal. And as I was sitting in the back, I would sit there and take notes. It is so good to see God using these guys that you've invested in to touch lives. There's nothing like it. Just last week, I was in Guatemala, and we went to a seminary there, Seteca. And I was in chapel, and this guy walks up to me. It was Jonathan, a guy that I'd spent time with in Honduras. I didn't think he was going to be there. We went and we did a radio program for about an hour, and he was there not just agreeing, he was authenticating everything I was saying, the whole plan of making disciples. So with Sergio, after I take notes, and we always had a little debrief after. He was always excited because it was a time of encouragement. Whenever you're going to disciple somebody, supervision is a lot of encouragement, a lot of encouragement. So I like to use the example of a sandwich. You have 2 pieces of bread, some meat in the middle. Now, it's dangerous talking about food when it's about 11:30, and you guys might start thinking about a sandwich, maybe a turkey sandwich with some avocado on there, nice whole grain bread. So what you do, the first piece of bread is encouragement, and I'd say, hey, cereal. That's awesome. I love seeing how you're teaching, what you're doing. And then we go to the meat. I say, Siri, what do you think? Make that adjustment. What do you think about if we use this verse? What do you think about if we use this illustration? What do you think about that? And then the last piece of bread, more encouragement. I said, Siri, I'm so pleased just to see how God's developing you, how he's growing you. I think there's great things in store. There's great things in store for you in the future. So the whole idea about supervision, making those adjustments. Number 9, reproduction. Let's look at number 9, reproduction. John 15:16, the first part. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. When I think of reproduction, I think of some men right here with us. Brother Herb, why don't you come on? Can you come up? Maybe they can let you out. Brother Herb and Steve, if you come on over. It's all right. This is unrehearsed. You never know what's going to happen at Harvest. This is better than live television. Here we go. Steve, you can come over here. Yeah. So Brother Herb, someone asked me about probably a few months ago. They said, who do you think has been the person to impact really the most people in Memphis? And I thought he was going for me. So I said, who do you think is the one who's impacted the most people in Memphis? And I said, you know, without missing a beat, I think Brother Herb has touched a lot of lives. So Brother Herb, come over here, Brother Herb, if you would please, sir. And Steve, you come over here on this side so we can kind of get the flow of chronology. So Brother Herb invested in Steve. Brother Herb also invested a guy named Soup Campbell. You guys know Soup. He's the guy that built into Kennan. So through Brother Herb, you have Steve, you have Soup. Soup's like my uncle. You didn't know that. Soup's my uncle. And then Kennan, we're like cousins. So Brother Herb has influenced these guys, and then it just keeps on going. Brother Herb probably never met Sergio. I don't think he has. He travels a lot. But that's part of his interest. He made the deposit in Steve. Everything that comes from Steve is interest. Until Jesus comes back. This is what I love, guys. When you start making disciples, you set something in motion that has the potential to continue until Jesus comes back. You initiate a process that has the potential till Jesus comes back. There's nothing more exciting than that. Enlarging, ever enlarging. Ever enlarging is going to take off. So it's going to enlarge till Jesus comes back. And we're gonna illustrate that here just a little bit, but hey, I love these guys. I respect these guys. And I don't throw that word around, love, you know, but these are guys I love. I respect. These guys have impacted my life, and I'm hoping that this church, we're gonna have a whole lot of guys like that impacting your life, and you're gonna impacting a whole lot more. So you guys can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you, guys. So that's reproduction. Talking about that. There's a picture I have of Edgar. I met him about probably 2 years ago. When I saw this picture, it just really got me. Edgar, this is a visual representation of 2 Timothy 2:2. Edgar's down here with the placard that says Paul. Behind him in green letters, you see Timothy. Behind that is faithful men in pink letters. Behind that is others. Back in the orange or yellow. So I saw that and I thought, man, this is the kind of ministry I desire. I would love to be in that Paul slot where I'm investing in people, faithful people, guys like Will, guys like Sergio, guys like Greg, guys like Billy, guys like Matthew. These guys are impacting people's lives. When I saw that, I thought, man, I want that. I want that in my life. And hopefully that does something in you too. Let's use an example. I have Steve. You can come on back here again if you would. Steve, and so I'm wearing you out. You got Steve, and we got, where's JB? JB's back here. Come on back here, JB. Steve, JB. Now, when I do this overseas, this is kind of when the lights come on. And so I think this is a pretty sharp group here at Harvest. I think you guys can, we can make this thing happen. So we got that, and we got Rex. Come on up, please, Rex. You guys want to come in here a little bit closer? This is what we're going to say. Now, these guys have taught me so much. These are elders here on the team. These guys have taught me so much, and we're just going to use this as a visual. We're going to say that I'm investing in these guys. They're investing in me, for sure. But we're just going to use this as an example. We hang out together. We're praying together. We're praying for the nations. We are doing ministry together. We preach. We teach. We hang out. All of these things. This is our team. So we're going to do this. We're going to say we're going to do this for a year. Now, this is normally, let me show you what normally happens in a church. This isn't usually what happens. We're going to say John. We're going to use John as an example. Come here, John. We're going to say that John and I, we work together. We work together and be able to get into his life a little bit, share the good news, and man, John gets saved. After that, then John's baptized, and then he comes to church. He's excited. He comes and sings the songs. He He'll give an offering. He'll be a part of a Bible study. He does all these things. But you know what happens? John just goes and he sits down. That's kind of the extent. Now, John's not like that. I think John's going to be somebody who's multiplying. But this is normally what happens in the church here in the U.S. Someone gets saved, we're happy. Oh, my goodness, we're happy. But that just stops right here. With no more clout for the kingdom, it just stops. Now, let me show you. That's addition. This is, almost Spanish came to mind. This is addition. We're going to talk about multiplication. So here are these guys. We're hanging out together. We're doing ministry together. And after about a year, I say, guys, has this been a blessing to you? And they say, heck yeah. And then they say, why don't you guys do the same thing? Do you think you could do the same thing that you're doing that we did together with somebody else? Can you guys select three guys each? So go ahead and select three guys. Each of you guys go ahead and select three. Go ahead. You got your three? Okay, grab them up here. John, I want you to be my three.
No.
You already got him? Okay. All right, here. Joshua and the showman here. Mitchell and Torres, okay? How about, come on up here. I just blanked out. David, come on up, David. Okay. Now, we still stay in contact. Rex, JB, how are things going with the group, guys? It's super, man. We hang out and we go do ministry. Maybe this big group will go do ministry. We may go to another village. We may go to I guess that's overseas, a village. We may go to another city. And they're doing the same thing. They're investing in the guys. They're praying. They're equipping the guys that we're spending that time together. And after that, about a year, then we say, hey, do you think you guys could do the same thing? So they go, everybody else gets three. You get three more. Now, men discipling women. The women can take this in their mind and make the shift. The women discipling women. So we're just going to use men here today. Okay, so we got Josh will get you three. Pray before you select. It's important to select. Everybody get three. All you guys get three more. Brother Herb, come on. I'm gonna first round draft pick right here. Brother Herb. And how about this gentleman right here? We're not gonna have you say anything. You guys just help us out to do this visually. Okay, we got this guy. What's your name there?
Brian.
Brian, all right, Brian. We got Brian, we got Brother Herb. Go ahead and stretch out that way, guys. Keep on kind of stretching out that way. Kind of stretch out so we're not all bottled up. How about this guy? The guys here, let's shoot out that way. Let's shoot out that little alleyway out that way. D, you want to go out that way? Yeah, shoot out that way. So we got a nice line going out. Okay, man, they're going multiplying pretty fast. So we're spending time together. Where's my guy? We got Brother Herb. Brother Herb, where you go? Brother Herb. So we got Brother Herb, and then we got these guys. Okay. Okay, does everybody have your three? I need one more. Come on, right here. Andy. Andrew.
Don't argue with this guy.
Now, Andrew has special talents. I was coming on Germantown Road about a month and a half ago. He was driving down Germantown Road, and he was tying his tie while he was driving. How does he do that? I need a mirror to do that. So we got Andrew, Brother Herb, and Brian. Okay. So we're spending time together, we're praying together, we're doing ministry together, and it's been incredible. And then everybody does the same thing. You know, I think you guys get the idea. This is multiplication instead of like what John and I were doing. That's addition. That's the idea. Multiplication, which one, it's obvious, which is more effective. And it's not just a new believer. This is somebody who's can handle, we say handle the Bible with like the bare blade. They know doctrine. Sometimes I think one of the best things that can happen to a believer is have a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness just turn them into a theological pretzel. When that happens, they got to say, I got to go back and say, who is the deity of Christ? Give me three verses that I can pick. We're looking at a product, not just hanging out, not just exchanging baseball cards at the water cooler. We're equipping these guys to make a difference, to impact the nations. Multiplication is a whole lot more effective. Okay, you guys go ahead and have a seat. Good job. Thank you.
Give me your microphone.
Okay.
Give me your microphone.
Uh-huh.
1 second.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, listen. Everybody listen carefully. Let me demonstrate that in a way you can show it in a restaurant. Okay, here's Paul right here. Here's Timothy right here. Here's Epaphroditus. Here's Epaphras. Here's Silas. Here's Barnabas. About 100 people associated with Paul, so you can stretch this a long way. Okay, Paul translates to Timothy. Ah, but he must be careful. This is not just transfer. This is transferable stuff. In other words, you fill him with transferable stuff with a vision to look like this. And then he fills each one of them, same thing, So beginning here, it goes like this, like this, like this, like this. It is limitless, infinite, and indefinite, depending only on your commitment.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brother Herb. That's straight from the horse's mouth right there. That's great. Okay. You guys have seen it before when a young couple, they go to the beach. You got mom and dad. I thought of the couple we know here. It's Daniel and Fauna, little Ruth and Georgie, they call him. Don't tell anybody, but I think Ruthie, she's little Ruth is probably one of my favorites. Don't say anything, but she's one of my favorites. Beautiful little girl, big brown eyes, milk chocolate skin, long hair. Well, it's like this family, they go to the beach, and mom, she's making some sandwiches. And the dad, takes his boy out there. The dad has a bathing suit, and his little boy looks just like him. It's a mini version of the dad. And the daughter, she's out there. She's probably about 7 years old, and they're going out to swim. So they walk down. You've seen it before as they walk out through the oncoming waves. They're crashing there, and they're holding hands, and they're having a great time. Well, the daughter, she's learning how to swim, dog paddling, and the dad's showing her how to float, how to let the water hold her up. So they're out there swimming, having a great time. The dad loses track of, he's not thinking straight. He tries to touch the ground, and he can't touch. He realizes he's in a riptide. The riptide is taking him out. He has to think fast. First of all, he says, how foolish I was. I should have been more together to think about our situation. He has to think fast. If he takes both kids up there, everybody may drown. So he says, I have to think fast. He said, honey, he talks to his daughter. He said, honey, remember how daddy's been telling you to just float, let the water hold you up. Dad's gonna take little brother back. You just wait here. Daddy loves you, I'll be right back. So he turns around, he swims as hard as he can. He swims like as hard as he can back to the shore. By that time, there's a group on the shoreline. He hands the son to the wife and he's panicking. Help! Help me! Somebody help me! He sees a boat and he says, sir, can you help me? My daughter's out there. Can you help me? So he says, sure. So they jump in the boat. They slip it out through the water. Oncoming waves are crashing through the waves. The dad is up in the front. He's leaning out over the bow. He's sweeping the horizon looking for that bright pink bathing suit. He's on his way and he finally sees her and he points. He says, there she is. There she is. They slow down. Goes by, and he sweeps her up, scoops her up, and pulls her up into his chest. And he's overcome with emotion. He thought, I almost lost. This is my princess, my daughter. And he's overcome with emotion. He begins to weep. And she says, Daddy, Daddy, it's okay. It's okay. Here's the punchline. I was just doing what you told me to do until you came back for me. I was just doing what you told me to do until you came back for me. You told me just to float. Jesus has commanded us to make disciples. That's what he's commanded us to do. And when he shows up, I want to be able to say, Lord, I was doing what you told me to do till you came back. It's our command. It's not just a suggestion, it's a command. So I pray that Harvest will not just be in name only, be a disciple-making church, but to be in actuality, a church that equips believers to multiply to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Our Father, I want to thank you for this time here with my brothers and sisters. And I pray that you really would use us like that, that we would be able to build into other people, that there would be Pauls here that could search out those Timothys. They would pray for them and search them out. And also young Timothys that would pray and seek a Paul. Or women that would do the same thing with young women, younger women, with older women, that they would seek out each other. And you, in your sovereignty, would put these people together and that they would have that kind of a relationship. Lord, I pray that you'd use this church for your purposes. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.